Good morning. So the subject before us this morning is man, created in his image. Man created in God's image. Man includes man and women, men and women, humanity. We are going through the study of our statement of faith. The statement of faith are the core doctrines of our faith. These are, as we gave these, those statement of faith included in this booklet, are concise and the brief summary of the major doctrines of the Bible. So we can say these statements of faith are systematic theology or theology proper. We started with the importance of knowing what we believe, why it is important to know God's word. That's how we started the study of the statement of faith, why we need to know these truth, these doctrines. Then we looked at the subject, the Holy Scriptures, God's revelation to man, what we believe. Then we studied theology, studied God, Godhead. First we studied the Almighty God, who is he? Then God the Father, one who thought it. God the Son, one who bought it. God the Holy Spirit, the one who wrought it or works our salvation out. Today we are going to transition from the theology to anthropology. Theology is the study of God. Anthropology is the study of man. So it is a natural translation, transition from the study of God to the study of man. Because Bible, we know, Bible is the story of God. But it is the story of God in relation to man. So there are two stories in the Bible. It is the story of God and the story of man. It's our story. And our book story became part of the God story. So it is, the Bible is not a story, not a revelation of God given in abstract. But it is a revelation given to man and also a revelation of God in relation to man. It is to us. And it is about us. So it is not some theology floating abstractly, but it is very personal for us. Now, man is not only God's crown of creation, but also man is God's object of special care. Special care. So here we are, study of man. Man created in God's image. First, we are going to look at man in creation. Then we are going to look at man in the fall. Then we are going to look at man in redemption. Man in creation, man in the fall, or in sin, and man in redemption. Man in creation, God created man. And we don't disagree with that. Everyone who sits here agree with the fact that God is the one who created us. And we are going to look at the script. First, we are going to look at about seven facets of this creation a man by God. First, we are going to look at the scriptural account of the origin of man. Then we are going to look at man's creation was preceded by a solemn divine council. God had a divine council before God created the man. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we are going to look at creation of man was a direct and immediate act of God. It was not a product of an explosion or an evolution. It is an immediate and direct act of God. Fourthly, we are going to look at God created man in his own image. God created man in his own image and in his likeness. Fifthly, we are going to look at God created man, male and female, and assigned a specific gender to each one of us. God specifically designed each one of us, male and female. Very carefully God designed to reflect his glory. Sixthly, we are going to look at God created man. The whole purpose of God's creation of man was for his glory. Now, seventh, when God created man, his physical body he formed by his hands, then he created by his breath the soul, the spirit, the inner man. The outer man God created by his hands. All other things we know God created by the power of his word. God said, let it be, and there was. God said, there be light, and there was light. But when God created, God did not say, let there be a man. He made very carefully with his hands. Same way he created woman, same way. So those are the one we are going, then we are going to look at man, that is man in creation. That will be the major topic of our discussion this morning. Then we will look at man in the fall and man in redemption. So, scriptural account of the origin of man. We read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. I'll read that again. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then we will look at also chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And also we'll look at verse 21, 22, and 23. So the Lord God, that's chapter 2, verse 21, 22, and 23. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now born of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, Genesis chapter 1 gives us the account of the creation of all things in the order in which occurred. So when you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there is not two accounts or two narratives of the creation story. one chapter one has the account of the creation of all things in the order it happened. So it actually goes from chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 2, verse 3. In that verses, we can see the 7th day of creation, 6th day of creation, and the 7th day God rested. And chapter 2 is like a highlight of the creation of man and the responsibilities assigned to him. So verse 26, 27 onwards, we can see in the order of creation, man was created. Then in chapter 2, it is highlighted. It is more specific account of creation, creation of man. So that's how we understand when we study the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. One is the general account of the creation of all things. Then chapter 2 is more specifically focused on the creation of man. So in chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. So there was a solemn divine council before man was created. So God's creation of man was preceded by a solemn divine council. God said, let us make. Who are the ones God is consulting with, or God is exhorting? Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Some say it is God is talking to the angels. Is it God talking to the angels? No. It is God. There is a conversation within the Godhead. There is a self-exhortation within the Trinity. It speaks about the triune God, because in the beginning, in chapter 1, however the Bible starts, in the beginning God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. That is a plural, God, in plurality. So in the beginning God, including God the Spirit and God the Son, together created everything. So we read earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So the Spirit of God was involved in the beginning. God the Father was involved in the beginning. Then we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God, and everything was created by Him. The Word became flesh. So then we read in Colossians chapter 1:16 also that Jesus Christ is the Creator. Many New Testament passages attest to the fact. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, we read that He is the Creator. Everything was created by Him and through Him and for Him. So in creation, God the Father is involved, God the Son is involved, and God the Spirit is involved. So that's why God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. And all other creation, if you look back in chapter 1, we can see where 6 says, then God said that let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Verse 9 says, God said, let the waters below be gathered into one place. And 14 verse 14 says, then God said, let there be light in the expanse of the heavens. Then verse 20, God said, let the waters steam with the swarms of living creatures. So we can see all the creations were made by the word of His power. God said it and it happened. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. They are kind. So this is, we are moving to the sixth day. And at the end of all creation, God created the crown, the king of his creation, the crown of his creation. But at this time, God did not create by the word of his power. What we read in verse chapter 2, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God fashioned, God shaped man from the earth, and he breathed into him the life of God. So that's how God created. So creation was a direct and immediate act of God. God directly involved in this act, and it was immediate. As our statement of faith states, that's how it starts, man. We teach that God directly and immediately created man, male and female, in his own image and likeness. In his goodness, God gifted each man, human being, with a specific gender identified at birth by one's biological sex. Genesis 1:26 and 27. Man was created free of sin with a rational nature, intelligence, volition, self-determination, and moral responsibility to God. So God directly and immediately made man. Man was not a product of galactic explosion or the Big Bang explosion. Or it was not a product of evolution. Some Big Bang explosion took place, and the chemicals all came together and formed Mr. JJ here. From goo to you, to me. From nothingness, here stands Mr. JJ. So it was not a product of galactic or any explosion and the chemical coming together from nothingness to form a perfectly designed man with a body and soul, and also we'll see later on the spirit. And it was not also a product of evolution. Generally, the evolutionary theory says man is a direct descendant of one of the species, anthropoid apes or chimpanzee, now in existence. As a result of naturalistic evolution, man descended from lower animals, body and soul, by a natural process controlled entirely by the inherent forces. According to that theory, there is a continuity between animal world and man. But since we know no lower animal evolved into man, so it is a mutation or natural selection or something caused man to evolve from apes to human. That means one day Mr. Ape got up and decided to shave, and here stands Mr. JJ. That is not the truth. That could never be. And the evolutionary theory, according to that, is very strict about it cannot be discontinued. It's a continuity continuous continuity between animal world and man. There's a continuous evolutionary process going on. It cannot stop. If that stops, that theory is done. But there's no kind of, we don't see that anymore. So man is not a product of the evolution, or neither man is not a product of theistic evolution. Some believers, some theologians believe that they want to reconcile the word of God with science. So evolution, they say, evolution is a method God used to make man, his physical being. Then God, some point, breathed his life in him and gave him a soul. And so that is very, very common in Christian circles. Many believers and theologians believe that. So, but we read here, God made man in his likeness. It was an immediate action. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, God formed man with his hand and breathed his life into him, and he became a living being. Let me take you to Psalms 139 for a second. Verse 18. Verse 13. Psalms 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I'll give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are also your thoughts of me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So very clearly says God knit us together in our mother's womb. God was involved in our formation. And God is behind, is the miracle of life. And God in Psalm 8 also we read, let's go back to Psalm 8 for a second. Verse 3, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? And the son of man that you take care of him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's how God created man, to represent God on the face of the earth so he can rule over them for God. But sin caused Grant prayed earlier in our breaking of bread, Adam forfeited that rule over the creation and given to Satan. Now Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he's the god of this age. And but still the man was created for that purpose, and this is a messianic psalm. It was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2. So man was created by God it was an act of God. God created him by his by God created with his own hands. And we read also, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. So then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth. So God created man in his own image, in his likeness. So the two words are used here, the image and the likeness. So if there's a difference, it could be a synonym for each other, but there is also a difference. When God created man, the image is the resemblance of God, the likeness of God. If God were a man, which he is not, if God had a body, which he does not, God is a spirit. But if you just think that God, if God had a body, what would God look like? God would look like a man, because that was the symbolism of God which he made the man into. So if God had a body, we read in the Bible that he can hear, he can smell, he can see. And Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, and he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. So God has eyes, God has ears, God has the power to smell, God has a right hand. God, when he manifested himself, he came as a man. The angel appeared in Genesis chapter 18 and different places, as a man. So if God had a body, then it would look like a man's body. So Henry Morris, in his Genesis account, says this: the body is not the image of God, but the body is a vehicle. So Henry Morris wrote this about that. We can only say that although God himself has no physical body, he designed and formed man's body to enable it to function physically in ways in which he himself could function without a body. He designed and formed man's body to enable it to function physically in ways in which he himself could function without a body. So we read in God can see, hear, smell, according to Genesis 8:21. He can touch and he can speak, whether or not he has actual physical eyes, ears, nose, hands, and or mouth. Furthermore, when he has designed to appear visibly to man, he has done so in the form of a human body, such as in Genesis chapter 18. And the same would be true of angels. They are spirits, and there are occasions when they take on bodies. And Henry Morris goes on to say about the human body, therefore, which is uniquely appropriate to God manifesting himself on occasions, he must have designed man's body with this in mind. Accordingly, he designed it not like the animals, but with an erect posture, with an upward gazing countenance, capable of facial expressions corresponding to emotional feelings, and with a brain and a tongue capable of articulate symbolic speech. He knew, of course, that in the fullness of time, even he would become a man. And in that day, he would prepare a human body for his son, and it would be made in likeness of man, just as man had been made in the likeness of God. So man was made. We were made in the image of God. And that image was reflected in our intellectual ability and moral purity, spiritual nature, dominion over the earth, creativity, ability to make ethical choices, and we are immortal. All those are the soul in which we have in us is immortal. So God created us with intellectual capacity, emotional feelings, thinking capacity, power to make moral decisions and willing choices. And also in his likeness, that means in holiness and righteousness. But what happened when sin came across Adam? Man was created by God to reflect God, reflect the glory of God on the face of the earth. He was created in the image of God to reflect the glory of God, to represent God. He was God's representative over the creation, to rule over the creation, and to have a perfect relationship with God. All that was reflected in the image of God. But the sin caused disfiguration. And the likeness to God has gone. Holiness was gone, the righteousness was gone. But still part of the image of God remains us. We can still think. We can still feel. We can make rational decisions. We have a power to make moral and willing choices because the word of God is written in the heart of man. And but we lost the right to reflect God. We lost relationship with God because man was put outside the garden. There was no more relationship with a holy God for man. And man lost the right to represent God because of the sin. And also forfeited his right to rule over the creation. And we read that Satan is the god of this age. And he has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers to the truth of the glory of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. So God created man in his own image for his glory. But we know that in redemption, God is in the process of restoring what we have lost. So those who are redeemed, all of us who are here, redeemed by our Redeemer Lord Jesus Christ through his death on the cross of Calvary, by shedding of his blood, he redeemed us to restore us to the image which we lost. We read Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the image of God." The sin caused it. But we still have the image of God. If you look at Genesis 9:6, this is after the fall. And God told Moses, Noah, that whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. So God established the fact, even though we have lost the image and the likeness of God through sin, yet part of the image remains in us. And the capital punishment came because if you shed blood, and by man's his blood shall be shed because he is made in the image of God. And in James chapter 3, we read that we curse God, we curse man, and also we praise man and praise God with the same tongue. Not so, because we are made in the image of God. So that truth, still the Word of God speaks that we, even though we lost our image and likeness to God because of sin, we still remain in His image. Man is a reflection of God's image in many ways. Unbelievers too. That's why we respect humanity. The life is important. Every life is important because it is created in the image of God. And coming back to Genesis 1:26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So when God said in verse 26, let us make man, the word, it is translated in English man, but in Hebrew it is Adam. God is saying that let us make Adam in our own image. When God created Adam, Eve, Adam named Eve later on. God did not name Eve. God named Adam. But when God created man or Adam, female was part of that creation. That's why we read in verse 27, when God created Adam, again that man is, in original, it's Adam. Adam means from the earth or red. In his own image, in the image of God, He created him, Adam, male and female, He created them. So at that point when God created Adam, Adam has in himself male and female. That is a hard concept to understand, but it was God created them. See, God, God has a sense of humor. God made one person. Then He divided that person into two. Took a rib and made it two. Then brought her back and told Adam and Eve, now you guys put it together. Make it one flesh. It was one to start with, and God made it two. Then He brought it back to Adam and said, now make it, the two shall become one flesh. That is the goal of marriage. In the process, what happens is we become more like Christ. The marriage is not easy, it is hard. The two shall become one flesh. It is a lifetime goal of marriage, the oneness, the two becoming one. And in the process, we become more like Christ, and also it glorifies God. And here, when God created Adam, Eve was part of that creation. Then God had to make a man incomplete, so He took something out of man, and all of a sudden he's incomplete. Then God separately made Eve. Now she has to come back home and brought her back and said, together you're going to glorify me. Together you reflect the image of God. That's why in Ephesians 5:32 it says, for a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then verse 32 says, this is a profound mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church. So the marriage is a reflection of Christ and the church, the relationship between Christ and the church. So So that is that oneness, the mystery of God's relationship to his people, Christ's relationship to the church is displayed in the marriage of man and woman. But here, that glory, that image is also individually reflected. God made man and woman individually to reflect God, in the image of God, in the likeness of God. But we see in Adam, women, he was included in that creation. It says, in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. At that point, God created. Even science attests to that fact. Male has X and Y chromosomes, but female only have X chromosomes. So if God has created woman first, there won't be any man because she only has X chromosomes. But man has X and Y. So that's why man is able to produce both male and female. Of course, you know, with the help of the women. But, yeah. But God, because even science attests and verifies that truth, that in Adam was the Eve was included in that. When God created Adam, he created them, male and female. So together, so God specifically assigned, so together they reflect the image of God together. So that, so the design of male and female, Adam and Eve, the design, God specifically, very carefully, very purposefully designed male and female. We know that male and female are not identical, right? Everybody knows that. So if we are not identical, why do we want to do identical things? Why do we want to do identical things if we are not identical? God designed male and female with a specific purpose. Physiologically, we are different. But in God's perfect design, they are very harmonious, fulfill the purpose of the symbol of one, the union of the one flesh, and in commingling. So all that was designed by God. In that designing, God himself is reflected. So what I'm saying that in God's purposeful design of male and female physiologically, that God's, and also bringing them together, God's image is reflected. So anything, so we can say that there's only two genders. God made them male and female. That's how God made it. Any perversion from that, or any diversion from that, is a perversion of God's original design. Agree? Amen. Only God created male and female. He did not create LGBTQIA. Now there's IA too. God created two sexes, bisexual, in the sense two sexes, male and female, two genders, male and female. And in that heterosexual union, God's glory is reflected. The image of God is reflected. And in his own image. Now we know that the image was marred, or disfiguration came because of the sin. All the provision from God's original design is a result of sin. It's a result of sin. But in redemption, we go back to the original design, the way we are created to reflect the image of God, in His image, to reflect the glory of God. That's why we are created for the glory of God. How do we glorify God? When we represent God. When we reflect God on the face of the earth. Now in redemption, we are representative of God. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. And God also created the material body as well as the immaterial body. You know, He formed the outward physical body, the material body, as well as was inner man, the soul. God created, breathed that into us. It can be interchangeably used as spirit or soul. We know that First Thessalonians 5:23 that we have a spirit, soul, and a body. Everyone who is a new creation has a spirit. We are a spiritual being. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Then we have a soul. The Spirit lives in our soul. The inner man is made up of two entities, the soul and the spirit. That is the inner man. The body without the spirit is dead. When that inner man departs, the body is dead. So man is made up of body, soul. As believers, we have the spirit of God in us. So that would happen in our at the rapture or at our resurrection. Our body and our soul, the inner man, will be brought together. So when we die, our body dies, we are with the Lord. When the Lord comes, He is going to bring our soul back and the body is raised and united together. So God created us to reflect His glory, but we know what happened in sin. And because of sin, we incurred physical death, spiritual death, separation from God. We lost relationship with God. And we were under the wrath of God. In Ephesians 2, we read, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and we were living according to the course of this world, the spirit of the devil, according to the spirit of the devil. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love for us, He raised us up again from the dead. And in redemption, we are being restored to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in Romans 8:28, we read, before the foundation of the world, in the eternity past, God predetermined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So God, in the eternity past, decided that we who were lost in sin and lost that image be restored to the image of His Son. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read, we are currently, presently being transformed into the image of His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Word of God. So in the eternity past, we were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, which we lost through sin. And presently we are being, so we are saved or we are redeemed. The ultimate purpose of salvation is to bring us or restore us back to the image which we lost because of sin. So presently, we are being conformed, we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit as we look into the Word of God. The mirror of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, conforms us to the image of his son. That is a process of sanctification. But when we see him, according to 1 John 3:2, when we see him, we shall be like him. In the future, that process will be completed, completely restored back to the original man in creation. So man in creation, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them to reflect God's glory on the face of the earth, to represent him, to rule his creation, to have relationship with God. But we lost that in sin, in fall. We lost the relationship with God. We could never come to God. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. There was nothing in us to respond to God because of his great grace. Because what Jesus did on the cross for us, we have been restored, redeemed. Now we can represent God. Our purpose here is to represent God. We are co-workers with God. We have given a commission, co-mission with God to go into the whole world, make disciples. And we will rule the world with Jesus Christ. Don't you know that we are going to judge the angels? In Revelation 3, I believe we said we are going to sit with Jesus Christ on the throne. So the rule which we for the right to rule which we forfeited to Satan, that will be restored. We will rule with Jesus Christ. And we have perfect relationship with the Father right now, which we lost through Jesus Christ. We can come to him and call him Abba Father through Jesus Christ. And when we will be in heaven in future, we will have perfect relationship, fellowship with him. So man in creation was created for his glory. Now we are redeemed for the praise of his glory. And in heaven, we will be restored completely in his image, reflecting God, praising God, worshiping God. And for eternity to come, we will be for the praise of his glory. He created us for his glory. He redeemed us for his glory. He is going to take us home to be heaven with him for his glory. Man created in his image. Was all the time we have to look at a little bit of the study of man and why God created us and redeemed us. So let us pray. May the Lord help us to keep this in mind so we can go on living and glorify God the days he has given us. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you created us. Your hands made us. You breathed your breath into us, and we became a living soul, an eternal soul. But we were lost in our sins. We lost all that you created us for. But merciful God and loving Father, because of your great love, because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed, restored to what we lost. We have been given the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see him, we shall be like him. So help us to glorify you now in our daily walk, in our relationship, wherever you have placed us. This is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.